Hi, I'm Mike Esnault, and welcome to the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge's AC23 Plus Artist Legacy Series podcast. This is a series where we talk to artists who are doing amazing things in the areas of the arts, including performance, education, production, as well as arts advocacy. We record this series in the Virginia and John Nolan Black Box Studio, as well as in the Jan and Bill Grimes Recording Studio here at the Carrie Siraj Community Arts Center. Be sure to visit artsbr.org for more information on all the great things we are doing here at the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge. Hope you enjoy the podcast series, and thanks for tuning in.
All right. I'd like to welcome our AC23 listeners to another session of AC23. And this is Mike Esnault, Director of Arts and Education here at the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge. And today I have two guests. I'm excited to have them because they're doing some cool things, super cool things, exciting things at Southern University that students should be very, very excited about. So I have Mr. Harry Anderson and Mr. Dale Robinson with me. Welcome, guys.
Yeah, good to be here.
How y'all doing? Yeah.
Doing good.
Yeah? Well, so the topic of conversation is primarily going to be the digital media arts program that you guys have developed. And this has been a couple of years in the making, from what I understand, right? So, yeah. One of you guys get me started. Like, how did this begin?
Well, I think it was a dream of Huey Lawson, who's our Title III director. It was, mm-hmm. I think, it was his vision. Mm-hmm. We were starting a bachelor's of music with a concentration in music technology and entrepreneurship program about 5 or 6 years ago. We've been working on it. And as it was coming into fruition, which it actually started last fall 24, but leading into it, you know, we needed, you know, equipment, gear, everything to be set up for it. So we have a music technology lab, and he kind of helped us upgrade it, you know, with some Personas gear since they were here in town. And we also started talking about a recording studio. And we ended up building the state-of-the-art recording studio, which we can talk a little bit about later.
Absolutely,
on.
Yeah.
And as that idea was going on, he had an idea of creating a digital media arts program. Mm-hmm. So he reached out to me, and I was in the music department over the jazz program, and he reached out to Daryl Robinson out of Mass Communications and got us together and said, look, he wants us to put together digital media arts degree. And so we met with the dean and a couple other chairs of the departments, mm-hmm. and you know, we just kind of started hashing it out. But it's been at least 3 years, Darryl.
Yeah, been about 3 years. And to add some background to what Harry said, that it was a Title III grant. And so remember, probably like July of 2022, mm-hmm. we got together with some of these people, and he said, hey, yeah, what? We need to propose in about 3 weeks. It felt like it was less than 3 weeks. And so she was kind of like, all right, well, everybody get together a wish list of equipment. And we need it by August 1st or something like that. And she got the proposal together and got the grant. And like you said, it started with, he had an idea about a digital media arts degree, but also connecting the three areas that were already on campus in the Mass Comm department, the visual arts and performing arts, and of course, which houses the theater department and the music department.
Right.
And some kind of way thought about pulling Harry and myself out and make us co-directors. And we were kind of like, yeah, okay. Do what now?
Well, I mean, what I know about Harry, and I'm just meeting you, Daryl, but from what I've heard, I mean, you guys, between the two of y'all, as far as, you know, picking you guys to be the front of this, you have a lot of background. Like, I know with Harry, a lot of background in music, touring, being in New York, et cetera, et cetera. And Daryl, you were obviously running the program for quite some time with Mass Communications, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I wasn't the chair, but I've been there since 96. And so I started off just basically being a studio manager. And by the end of it, was studio manager, had become a professor in the department, managing the IT network.
Right.
But, you know, by being a part of that department, you know, obviously I was able to teach a lot of students and learn a lot of things along the way. And working with colleagues like Harry Anderson and other people on campus, you know, I kind of drew a lot of experience from that, you know, and obviously coming out of television, I had the broadcasting and, you know, background as well.
So did you work in that area, like as a freelance?
Yeah, I started out, my first job was straight out of school at a local station, WVLA, back when television used to sign off. And a lot of people may not remember that I started off in Master Control, which was who ran the program. And so for while I was still in school, I worked part-time in Master Control. And at that time, VLA didn't do, like most stations do now, three or four newscasts. They only did one. Right. So we ended up doing a lot of video production in the city. So a lot of the car commercials you saw back then, like your Chrysler LeBlancs and all those commercials and a lot of the promotional stuff that was done, we did that at VLA. So I ended up getting into post-production and doing editing. And I did get into some freelancing during that time. You know, I worked on some Cash Money videos and stuff like that. So like I said, I've gained a lot of experience over time. But I started in television and stayed for about 7 years and came to Southern University in 1996.
I always like to hear stories like that because I've personally put a lot of value on, you know, when you see professors teaching at a university level, I've always felt it's nice when that person who's coming in brings in some, quote, real-world experience to that. Mm-hmm. And they're not just from, you know, a product of a university going right back into a university. Right. So, and both of you guys are part of that.
Yeah, my students, that's what they got was because I hadn't taught before, so I just brought in, hey, this is how we did a television station. So I'm going to train you like I would train you if you came in day one at a station.
What better training?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the way it should be, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Darryl didn't mention is that he's a graduate of the Mass Communications Department at Southern.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, awesome.
He got out of Southern, went to work, and came back to Southern.
Well, great. Yeah.
So I graduated from Southern, had a bachelor's in music performance, bachelor's in music education, and a master's in secondary education, concentration in music. So I left, thought I was going to go, you know, be the world's greatest bass player.
And sure.
Ended up in New Jersey, New York area, and ended up working with some pretty great people and traveled.
You were with the Harper Brothers, weren't you?
Yeah, that was I would say that's one of my biggest gigs was the Harper Brothers.
Yeah, that was a
Polygram Verve record label. And we did a lot. I did most of my traveling around the world with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got to play with a lot of other people. But then I'd say, ended up back at Southern as well.
Right.
You know, I was actually, had moved back from Jersey to Pensacola, Florida, me and my family, and 94, 95.
Mm-hmm.
And was gigging around town, did a little public school. I worked in public school for about 6 months. That's all I could do.
I didn't know about that history.
Yeah, about 6 months. Middle school. And I was gigging in Mobile, Alabama four or five nights a week, ripping and running. And, you know, three kids, you know, sports, cheerleading, doing the whole thing, playing at church. And was doing a gig one Sunday. And I got a call from Mr. Alvin Baptiste, you know, who's our instructor, Mr. Bat. He said, hey, man, what you doing? I said, just finished the gig, was packing up, going home, unloading. He said, what's going on at West Florida? Because I taught for 3 years at the University of West Florida. We started a jazz program. And it must have been a grant because after three years, they said, well, man, the program is over, man. So I was like, huh? And that was it.
Yeah.
And so that summer, Mr. Bat called me and said, I want you to apply for my position at Southern. I said, huh? He said, yeah, I want you to call Dr. George O'Rourke, and I'll tell you want to apply for my position at Southern. I said, okay. And, you know, it's been, 22 years now. I'm about to start my 23rd year at Southern now. So.
Wow. Because am I remembering right, was he going to NOCA at that point?
I don't know if he was going to NOCA or if he was just retiring again. He had retired once before.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about
and
that.
And came back, and he was retiring again. And this was in fall of 2003.
Okay, yeah.
So, but he was still playing and working because when I got here, the first semester I got here, the administration at Southern was working on a joint venture with a school in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So we went down, Mr. Bat. They had asked Mr. Bat to come down and do a concert with them, with the administrators, the chancellor, his wife, some of the administrative assistants, and Dr. Carpenter, Councilman, Representative Carpenter. Mm-hmm. She was going, And we got to go. Mr. Bat took myself, Herman Jackson. Herman was on drums. I was on bass. Mr. Bat, no piano player. Mm-hmm. Quamon Fowler on saxophone. John Gray on trumpet.
Yep.
Am I missing anybody? Ebony Benton, vocalist, and Nina Gray, vocalist.
Okay.
And we went down to Mexico and did a concert, got to hang out, and that kind of got me in with a lot of administrators, you know, my first semester here. So I don't know how I got off on that, but anyway.
Well, you're giving me some history I didn't know about. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, okay, so let's jump into this. I'm looking at an overview of the program, and you guys have, you're offering quite a few concentration tracks, which I personally think is very smart. I think it's great for the students to have the opportunity to be prepared for basically what exists out there today. Mm-hmm. So a digital screen arts production track, digital performance fusion, visual art and motion graphics, digital sports production, and recording arts. That covers a lot of ground.
It does.
So talk to me about that. Like how to, you know, well, number one, just logistically, does this all, like, did y'all have to build any new buildings to do this, or it all kind of lives under existing?
It's going to kind of live under existing buildings. As Harry mentioned earlier, a new recording studio is in an existing building, but I think they revamped the space that they had there to put this recording studio. Mm-hmm. The music technology lab was in existing space.
Right.
We revamped in the Stuart Hall in the Mass Communications Building. We revamped the lab into a newsroom, and then we're currently in the process of redoing the studio and adding some state-of-the-art industry standard equipment.
Right.
And how did it come together? We used some faculty liaisons from each area, and we sort of sat down and you know, initially when we sat down, we really didn't know what we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even know if we really per se was like, hey, it's going to be a new department or just a new degree. But just between discussions between everyone, it's like, hey, from feedback from students, feedback from people in the industry that we talk to, is like, hey, this is what the students want. And the industry say, these are the people that we need to be trained in this area. But also just, you know, going out in the real world now.
Right.
Everything is digital media.
Right.
You know,
of course,
social media, websites, all of that is all, you know, that's all digital media now. So based on that, we came up with what we thought could add to the university. So we looked at, because we didn't want to step on what was already there in other departments.
Right.
So you already had journalism, you had PR, you had print in music, you had, you know, your traditional musicians and learn how to play traditional music and learn how to you know, play traditional instruments. And of course you had theater and you had art where people was like the young man that we just met out there, artist here. Yeah. So we said, well, nobody seems to be offering sports production. So, and we had sort of talked about that over the years since I'd been at Southern. So, and I've worked the scoreboard crew and stuff at Southern University. So I'm like, this is something that want to benefit the school. But a lot of students want to work for ESPN. They want to work for Fox. Mm-hmm, you know, obviously, film.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody want to be the next Spike Lee or somebody, right?
Sure.
But you do have a lot of students that just want to be behind the scenes. They may not want to direct, but they just want to do other things like that. And, of course, we don't have the booming industry that we had before, you know, with the tax credits and everything. But the film industry is still here. Louisiana still is a place where people want to come to shoot. Right. And you need those talented people. And the other concentrations, kind of like the same thing. Recording arts, you know, people want to – everybody want to produce or they want to create their own songs. And so with the other areas – digital performance fusion is what we call it. That's the technology side. So that's adding the projection and all the technology you now add to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
So with all of that, you know, we're hoping that, one, we can raise the profile of the university, but also, you know, be able to give students what they really want to go out and be prepared to work in this new world.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen the studio firsthand the recording studio, and it's beautiful. It was really nicely done.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm looking for a good deal on studio rates, by the way, Harry. But
have your people call my people.
Right.
The studio was designed by WSDG, which is Walter Storrick Design Group. And Walter Storrick, his first studio that he did was converting, I think it was a church or a building, into a studio for the great guitar player, Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, was that Electric Lady?
Was that the studio? In New York.
That was him. Okay.
So his company designed the studio. And Rick Camp, I met Rick Camp through a friend of mine, Thomas Dawson, who was from St. Francisville, the music director for the Commodores.
Right.
Classmate.
Yeah.
Frat brother. So I called him up. I said, man, look, I'm trying to do a studio. And he said, well, let me bring in Rick Camp, you know, a good friend of mine he works with all the time. And they did the gear. They designed all the gear work. Rick designed it, installed it, and everything. And, man, it's great. He had a connection with Solid State Logic. So we ended up getting one of their top boards, one of the top consoles, the Duality Pro Station, 48 channels. And all the gear is top-line gear in there. So we have a very competitive studio if anybody wants to try to compete with us. You know, we're on that level.
Yeah.
And but one of the other things with our program that we're going to offer, we're an Avid learning partner. So we're partnering with Avid, and Avid has Pro Tools software, which is a digital audio workstation, you know, recording audio and digital, analog and digital. That's what I meant.
Right.
Then we have Sibelius, which is notation software,
sure,
and Media Composer. So now we're a partner school for them, for their company, Avid, and we're about to start training ourselves. Now we're about to go through training to be certified. We'll be able to give certifications in those three areas as well.
Right.
So one of the goals is when the students finish at Southern, they'll be certified in Pro Tools. They'll be certified in Sibelius or Media Composer. And there may be some other ones.
Yeah, you know, we'll be looking at Adobe Cloud certifications, DaVinci Resolve, which is like the standard, the go-to tool for color grading in Hollywood now. Right. And they actually, for anyone that's listening, you can actually go on DaVinci Resolve's website. A lot of their training material is free, and it's a free download.
Right.
So, you know, and that's something else that was that, you know, we're looking at to do is trying to find free resources as well to offer to our students. And we just provide the tools, but like some of the software, we're a bit off the software. But yes, certifications definitely is something that we want to be a part of our program and being an Avid learning partner. And we're also looking to maybe partner with Chiron, which for years has been one of the leading companies when you like your lower third graphics that you see doing your sports broadcast or maybe your Emmy Awards, those graphics and stuff that you see like that.
Right.
So they also have some certifications that students will be able to get. So again, like Harris said, we just really want our students to come to an environment where when they're on campus, it looks like what it'll look like when they go to the real world or when they come to their recording studio. You know, even if maybe it's not an SSL, they know Pro Tools, and they can go and work that somewhere.
Right.
So, yeah.
So when is the program really kicking off? Is it this fall?
This fall.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, this fall, but we're only offering about four courses right now.
Yeah.
So I guess we call this like a soft launch, I guess, because, you know, obviously we don't have the students to offer everything, and then courses have prerequisites. So we're offering the courses that, like the intro courses and the courses that don't have prerequisites so students can come in. And, you know, and then once this semester hits, we'll be able to really get to the high schools. And hopefully next fall is when we'll have everything in place and have a full course load of all the courses that we can offer. But right now, yeah, if you're interested, and you know, we have a couple of courses that you can get in, and we have some of the tools that's there for ready to be used.
Yeah.
And we do have some students signing up.
And we do have some students signed up already. Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, we have a Bachelor's of Music with a concentration in music technology and entrepreneurship. But some of those students may switch over. And the reason we have the recording arts concentration in the digital media arts is because the music degree, you had to actually play an instrument. And I think it's because of NASM accreditation, our accreditation agency for music, requires you to actually play an instrument.
Right.
You know, if I'm correct. There are a lot of people producing at home using just their laptops.
Right.
And very successful. So didn't want to alienate those students if they wanted to come to college as well.
Right.
So this recording arts concentration, we will be able to accept those students. And they'll be able to use a studio. They'll be able to use the music technology lab. It's going to be a shared facility with the music program. Just like the TV production area is going to be shared with MassCom. However, it's ours. I'm gonna say it's ours. I'm just being messy. I'm gonna say it's ours. But you know, we're through Title III, mm-hmm. you know, they're the ones who are really funding the bulk of this.
Right.
You know, making it all possible.
Right. Yeah. I would imagine too, like, and I think Daryl was kind of alluding to this. So, and when I was talking to Jaron, mm-hmm.
Jaron Porch.
Thank you. I was going to say G Sharp, but I'm trying to be more formal here. Mm-hmm. But apparently, the studio is basically wired to record just about anywhere on campus, right?
Yeah, that was another big vision of Huey Lawson, Title III director. We're doing what we call the Campus Connect.
Okay.
We want the recording studio, the television production area,
mm-hmm.
the theater, the recital hall in the music building, the football stadium, the mini dome, the softball field, the baseball field, the bowling alley, and maybe the law school too.
The law center, the two new buildings that are coming up, the amphitheater and the Global Innovation Center.
Welcome, Global Innovation / Welcome Center.
Yeah,
that's coming up. Those buildings, through fiber,
right,
will be able to connect. So if a production is going on in one area, we'll be able to send video and audio back and forth to each area.
Right.
So how that's going to work, I couldn't tell you all the technical stuff.
Well, this one will be an evolving thing.
Yeah,
Kind of where I was going with that is, I would imagine, as this entire digital media program develops and all these different branches get stronger and stronger, that's a real feather in the cap for the university, not only for producing graduates, but also just what you're capable of doing on campus for the school.
Yeah, I could see us becoming a case study for a lot of places to say, we want to come see, how did you do this?
Right.
You know, again, that's going to raise the profile of a university. We saw that, you know, you see this type of connection a lot of times in athletic departments at schools where right across town, LSU, like I said, they got a central building, and then they can just stay in that one area and produce, and they can do the football games, they can do the baseball games, they can do the basketball games.
Right.
We're just applying it now to the entire campus.
Right.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
And again, our Title III director, Huey Lawson, was over the IT department at one time, and they had the foresight to start laying fiber, but laying the conduit as well. Mm. That makes this a whole lot easier to do, where a lot of places either don't have the fiber in place or they don't have the conduit in place to connect the entire campus together. So, mm-hmm. but you're right. This is a feather in the cap for the university to be able to do something like this. And not saying we're the only place in the world that's doing something like this, but you know, in this region and for a school of our size, you know, I think that's pretty impressive.
NBA HBCU.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, I would imagine mm-hmm. any student who's interested in, again, there are so many routes to go.
Right. And that's the other thing about the program is it's designed as a digital media arts degree. And if a student doesn't want to pick a concentration, they can cobble together what they want and pull from each area.
Oh, that's
so that gives them some freedom.
Right.
You know, we'll probably kind of strongly suggest you might want to pick a concentration because you may really be interested in this. But if you don't, you know, if you come to us and say, you know, I'm a musician, but I'm really, I don't really need that recording arts concentration.
Right.
I want the degrees, but you know what? I want to get a little bit of film.
Right. Sports production.
And I love sports, so I want to learn how to, you know, do a sports cast. Or my son's basketball team or my daughter's softball team. I want to learn how to do that so I can go produce that for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's, again, going back where we may start just offering certifications or specialized courses just for people to come and just take exactly what they need.
Kind of more a la carte.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's sort of how we sort of designed this degree.
Yeah. I think this is all very, very smart
and long timely. The long-term goal is to have a graduate program as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. MFA and PhD.
Absolutely.
That's a long-term goal, yeah.
Well, so what's we've covered a lot of ground. What's the next step for you guys?
Get the information out about the program. On my end, get the broadcast studio to the level of their recording studio, because we're working on that equipment now. We're going with Ross Video, which on the sports side, most of your arenas, LSU, the Superdome, Alliance Stadium in Las Vegas, uses Ross Video equipment, and they did the ESPN workflow, is what you see on television. So that workflow, the equipment, and all of that, the software, the graphics, all of that, will be an ESPN ready facility. So ESPNs, they want to come and do a game, if they want to, they will have the ability just to plug up and use our facility if they like that. Yeah. And that's the goal again, to make sure students have the same thing now that they'll have when they leave here.
Right.
And maybe ESPN will just be like, you know what? I know you got a semester left, but
what do you think about?
Hopefully we get some internships as well for our students. Mm-hmm. You know, get some hands-on experience. But, you know.
Nothing beats that.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to remind the listeners, you've been listening to Mr. Darryl Robertson and Mr. Harry Anderson from Southern University, and you guys have, is it fair to say this is y'all's baby? I mean, y'all kind of really created this thing. This is the Digital Media Arts Program at Southern University. So if a potential student, parent who has a potential student is interested in this, what do they need to do?
They can send us information at, you use the email address, dmad@sus.edu.
Say that one more time.
dmad@sus.edu.
Okay.
And that'll be the best way to contact us, and we'll leave us your contact information, and we'll take it from there. But they can also, you know, call the university, reach out to the admissions department, and they'll be able to direct them to the proper, because as incoming freshmen, there is each college has an advisor. Mm-hmm. Our advisor, her name is April Thibodeau.
Okay.
You know, incoming freshmen would speak with her. If it's a transfer student, someone like that, you know, they can contact us.
Okay.
At that email address.
Sounds great.
The Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge would like to acknowledge our generous sponsors, the Shell Corporation, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Louisiana Office of Cultural Development, and the City of Baton Rouge.